Hallelujah. Praise God. We have heard some awesome things this morning. We have had two presentations already that have just blown our minds. Hallelujah. We serve a good God. Amen. I want to go through one time, and I want to sing about that God. I want you to join us. God we serve. Isaiah chapter 35, verse 8. And then the highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools, shall not enter or shall not err therein. I want to speak to you on the subject, a holy God. Hallelujah. A holy God. God, we thank you, Lord, for this time. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the commitment, God, that these young people have made. God, we thank you, Lord, that we can approach the throne of grace. I'm asking you, Lord, to speak to each and every one of us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. There are some people who are filled with an enormous amount of self-confidence. There are some people that are just full of themselves. There are people who long for a feeling of self-importance. George Washington wanted to be called His Mightiness, the President of the United States. Columbus pleaded for the title Admiral of the Ocean and Viceroy of India. Catherine the Great refused to open letters that were not addressed to her imperial majesty. Millionaires financed Admiral Byrd's expedition to the Antarctic with the understanding that mountains would be named after them. Victor Hugo wanted the city of Paris renamed in his honor. A few years ago, there was a futile attempt for the presidency made by old-time rocker Joe Walsh. He said that the first act that he would do upon being president is rename our nation's capital to the name Washington. When Michael Jordan came back to play basketball again, media referred to it as the second coming. I say, what a joke. All of these are vain and futile attempts to become something or someone that they are not. But I want you to know that when we speak of God, we speak of holiness. When we speak of God, we speak of majesty. When we speak of God, we speak of magnificence. When we speak of God, we speak of a God who is high above all nations and His glory above the heavens. We speak of a God who is so holy that man is not able to approach Him unless it's in like holiness or in mercy. We serve a God who's unlike any other. He's a holy God. He's a worthy God. Nobody can come to Him unless He calls him. Hallelujah. Moses said, "Know therefore this day and consider it in thine heart, that the Lord, He is God in heaven above and upon the earth beneath. There is no God. There is none else. He is a holy God." He also said in the next chapter, "Thou shalt have none other gods before me." God gave them a commandment, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might." He told them that you teach your children diligently that there's only one God. You talk about it when you sit down, when you walk in the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You put it as a sign upon your hand, as a frontlet between your eyes. You write it on the post of your house and on your gate that there's only one God. There's only one God. It's not the God of the Amorites. It's not the God of the Hittites. It's not the God of the Canaanites. There's only one God that you're to serve and to love. He said a few verses later, "You shall not go after other gods, of the gods of the people which are round about you." Don't worry about what they're doing. There's only one God that's worthy of our praise. There's only one God that's worthy of our commitment. There's only one God that's worthy of our dedication, because He's a holy God. He's a jealous God. He's the only one that's worthy of what we give to Him. Joshua told the people, said, "You cannot serve the Lord, for He is an holy God. He is a jealous God." I'm talking about a God who's holy, church. Young people, I'm talking about a God who is so holy. The book of Leviticus said, "For I am the Lord that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. Ye shall therefore be holy, for I am holy." His nature is holy. He exudes holiness. Holiness emanates from Him. Whatever He does is righteous. It's pure. It's clean. When you come into His presence, it is a purified presence. It is a purified atmosphere, kissed by the holiness of God. Book of Exodus said, "Who is like unto Thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like Thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders?" What God is there that can come claim what He can claim? What God is there who can claim holiness like He can claim holiness? What God can touch somebody and in a moment transform their unrighteousness and their immorality and that illicit lifestyle and make it one of holiness, one of righteousness, one of cleanliness and purity? There is no other God that can do it like Him. That is the God that Moses was to encounter on the backside of the desert in Exodus chapter 3. It was a mundane work day for Moses. Moses was tending the flock. Moses was going about his duties in the normal course of affairs, just taking care of the work day, of the flock that he was to partake of. Not every day, young people, is youth convention. Not every day is a party. Not every day is Camelot Park. Moses was just going about his business in what promised to be a mundane work day. just another day getting up in the morning, going to work or school for 6, 8, 10, 12 hours, getting off work or school, coming home, showering, eating, preparing for the next day, and then going to bed and starting it all over the next day. Just a mundane existence is all it was. But God was going to change that. And as Moses was going about looking for greener grasses and clearer streams and richer pastures, he came upon something on what is called the mountain of God, which was Horeb. He came upon a bush that was burning. It piqued his curiosity. It intrigued him as he looked at it. And he stopped and said, look at that bush. It's consumed with fire, but it is not consumed to the point of destruction. Our God is a consuming fire, but He is not a God of destruction. And so as he looked at this bush, his curiosity was piqued as he looked at it. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. Now, I don't know how many of you have seen a bush burning that has not been consumed, but I haven't. I don't think it's something we see every day. But as Moses looked at that, and as he began to walk over there, all of a sudden the atmosphere began to change. As he looked, God called to him and said, Moses, Moses. Moses said, here am I. And as he walked close by, and the atmosphere began to change because of the manifestation of the Spirit of God, everything changed there. And the Lord spoke to him and said, draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. He wasn't even worthy to stand there. He said, Moses, my presence, my spirit makes this place right here a hallowed place, a holy ground. Come on, boys, help me out here. Come on, this is holy ground right here. This is a ground that we're not worthy to have our shoes on. You see, in the Eastern culture, the removal of shoes is akin to the removal of the hat in the Western culture. It is a sign of respect and submission. It is an acknowledgement of an unworthy man standing before unspotted holiness. As Moses came to him, the sandals that he had on were dirty and filthy. It began to pick up the sand, the gravel, the dust and the dirt from the road that he had traveled. And just the very dust on his feet was too filthy and dirty for a holy God. As he stood there, he said, take off your shoes, because the pollution of the world is upon your shoes. And it's not holy enough for me, Moses. It's not righteous enough for me, Moses. Moses had been a lot of places, and where he had been had picked up the stain of the world, the pollutions contracted by walking in the way of sin. I'm telling you, this God that we serve and we love is so righteous that the pollutions of this world cannot stand before Him. These shoes right here have had to walk in lounges to get back to restaurants where they served alcohol. It's not righteous enough for him. These shoes right here have walked across nightclubs and dance floors to get to the back dining room to enjoy a meal. Nightclubs and dance floors where they play worldly music, where illicit activity was led to that night. It's not righteous enough and holy enough for this God. These shoes right here have walked the hospital corridors where the filth of the body and the infection has permeated that place. It's not holy enough to be in His presence. These shoes have been in correctional institutions and prisons where murderers and rapists, where thieves and drug addicts have been. It's not righteous enough for this God that we serve. It's not holy enough for this God who created it all. For this God who is above all, it's not righteous enough. There was Moses standing on hollow ground. Moses feeling the presence of God There is a change in this place. I've been all over the backside of this desert. I've tended sheep. I've tended to the flock and I've taken them to many watering holes. I've seen bushes like this one before, but this one is different because of the holiness and the Spirit of God that has come. God has transformed this place right here. Holiness allows us to approach Him. Holiness allows us to come into His presence. David said, "Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in His holy place?" The answer, "He that hath clean hands and a pure heart." That's the one that's going to come before Him. That's the one who is going to stand before Him. A holy God is worthy of a holy life. A holy God is worthy of holy worship. A holy God is worthy of a holy consecration. And a holy God demands holiness in return. He said, "For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto Himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth." This great big holy God is the one who picked you and you and you and you. He's the one who picked you, young people. He chose you to be a holy people for a holy God. He's the one who made and instituted holiness. He's the one who said, "When you come before me, you're going to come in an attitude and in a spirit of holiness that emanates from your spirit." I think too often we have the wrong attitude of holiness. Holiness is not raining on your parade or popping your balloon or crashing your party or lording it over others. Holiness is not rules and regulations. Holiness is not a way for your pastor to keep his thumb upon you. But what holiness is the channel that brings us to God. It is the common ground that allows us to come before Him. Holiness is the thing that joins divinity with humanity, and it brings us into contact with one another. He said, "Holiness without which no man shall see the Lord." That's the thing that allows us to come before Him. That's the thing that allows us to be able to worship Him and love Him. It is the holiness of our hearts. Look, the world doesn't dictate to us how we come before Him. The world doesn't dictate to us how we are to enter into His presence. The world doesn't dictate to us. They don't tell us how we come before a great, big, holy God. I know what the fashion of the day is. I know the fashion of the day is to wear your clothes plastered against your body. But I'm telling you, you won't wiggle into the presence of God. You may wiggle into the church house. You may wiggle into your seat. And you may have your clothes plastered so that it leaves nothing to the imagination. But a holy God says, "I'll have nothing to do with it." That's sensuality. That's unholiness. That's unrighteousness. "I won't have it. If you want to come to me, you'll come to me on my terms, not on the world's terms, or not on your own terms. What I want is true holiness of spirit, true holiness of heart, which will manifest itself on the outside." You know, our intention may be to turn the heads of that one. You may turn their head, but you won't turn God's head. Why? Because we're on holy ground. And God says, "I won't have the stains of the world or the pollution of the world on your, in your spirit, on your shoes, on your garments, anywhere. If you stand before me, my very presence makes it a holy atmosphere that I want and I demand holiness." You can cut your hair, burn your hair, whatever, but you damage your glory. You damage your opportunity to come before His presence. You can wear your makeup all you want. You can wear your men's apparel all you want. But God says, it's not a matter of me just raining on your parade. But I'm telling you, I'm holy. And unholiness cannot stand before me. Full of pride, jewelry, full of lust, it will not enter into His presence. I want to say I've had the age disease. Actually, I think it's since I became pastor, so maybe it's a pastoral disease or something. I don't know. But I stand here and I look at a lot of you young people. There's not an ounce of fat around you. Oh, I remember those days. So long ago. Oh, I remember that time. But you can walk around with muscles. You can walk around in your 28-inch waist. What was that, third grade? Oh. You can walk around with your tight shirts. But you know what? Full of pride and lust will not stand in His presence. Full of pride and lust will not stand before Him. He wants something more holy. He wants something more righteous. God says, I don't need your adornments. I don't need your ornaments. All I want is a pure heart. All I want is holiness when you come before me. I don't care what you look like as far as how made up you can get or how strong and muscle bound or how toned you are. I don't care what you look like. All I care about is what is your heart like? Do you have holiness of heart? I remember the young man who came to me distraught, depressed, could not feel the presence of God, thought he was losing it. It gave me an opportunity to take him into the office, sit him down, and say, you know what your problem is? God is taking His Spirit off of you because of your unholy relationships. You are involved in relationships that are not of God. They're contrary to this book. I don't care what your dad says, your mom says. I don't care what your heart says. You follow your heart, you're going to follow your heart to hell. But I'm telling you, if you want to get back to the presence of God, if you want to get back to an altar where you can feel the flow of Him, then you're going to have to approach Him in a holy manner. You're going to have to approach Him in a holy way. Your unholy relationships are not going to cut it. That's why God has dried the well up. He said, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. I'll receive you when you separate yourself. I'll receive you when you have holiness of heart, holiness of spirit, holiness of mind. Holiness exudes from every pore of your body. Woo. Holiness is not a thing of the past. Holiness is not a thing for the elders. Holiness is not a thing for Azusa Street. Holiness is not a thing for 1945. God is still God, and He says that I'm not changed. I'm a holy God. I demand holiness today. Woo. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The overwhelming desire for God is what will enable you to live holy. The overwhelming desire to come into His presence, to ring the bell when you come to pray, to touch Him when you come to worship. That overwhelming desire is what allows us to live holy. Don't tell me about your temptations. Don't tell me about your struggles. Don't tell me about your shortcomings. He said, but to them, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. He gave you power to live holy. He gave you power to throw those tight skirts away. He gave you power to throw those skirts away that have the slits all the way up, that's full of sensuality. Power. Power, 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 power. You don't understand that? I pulled there, I pulled there, I pulled there, I pulled there. There's power in the blood of Jesus. There's power in this Holy Ghost that we have. It allows you to live holy. Woo! Hallelujah. He said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your heartfelt service, which is your going beyond, above and beyond the call of duty. He said it's your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Be not conformed to this world. Don't let the world tell you that you can shack up and still live for God. Don't let the world tell you that you can be involved in homosexuality and still live for God. Don't let the world tell you that you can dress us to attract the sensual eye and still come into His presence. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. He's a holy God. He's a holy God. He's a holy God. Woo! I'll tell you what. I feel like it's hallowed ground right here. I feel like it's hallowed ground right here. These shoes walked out to the Adelanto prison. They've got filth on them. These shoes right here walked down to the hospital. They've got filth on them right here. But our God has permeated the place. And He said, I will inhabit those people who will come before me the way I asked him to. The Bible, the size of the train denotes the level of worthiness, glory, and honor. Bible said in Isaiah chapter 6, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. It filled the temple. That denoted His worthiness, His glory, His honor, His holiness. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and twain he covered his feet, and twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar, and laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. Here am I, send me. We are in evangelistic mode. We are in revival mode. God is pouring out His Spirit in these last days. He said it'd be greater than the former rain. God is pouring out His Spirit. But holiness is so important to revival. There's a greater hunger that God is filling even now. I believe it with all of my heart. I believe it. I believe it. I believe it. The brethren of this committee believe it too, because that's the emphasis of our direction. We mentioned last night bringing Brother Cunningham in. Why? Because it's revival time. Why? Because it's time to evangelize a lost and dying world. And we can feel, and here's the premise of my entire message right here. We can feel like our holiness will prevent revival. But I want you to know that holiness does not prevent revival. It makes revival a reality. You can't have revival unless you have holiness. Because revival is coming into contact with a glorified, a holy God. And you cannot come into contact with Him unless you have true holiness. There may be people who have had a measure of the touch of God, but it'll dry up unless holiness comes into their heart. Unless a full measure of truth, repentance, baptism in Jesus' name, the evidence of filling, or the Holy Ghost, evidence by filling, the infilling of the You know where I'm going at. You know what I'm talking about. Holiness must accompany any revival. Holiness is not a liability to an apostolic revival. It does not compromise or dilute revival. Holiness makes revival a possibility. Holiness allows hungry people in need of deliverance to approach a holy God. It does not drive people away. It brings them in contact with the holy God. That's what it's all about, young people. You say, hey, we're talking about evangelism around here. Just 3 weeks ago was the International Youth Day in Prayer and Fasting. And the young people of our church partook of that. They met at the church, had some prayer, and then they went out afterwards to go pass out tracts. The young men went one way, the young ladies went another way. The young men knocked on a door, and a lady was there, invited them in. They began to talk. They were able to talk with her and work with her and pray for her. The young ladies went the other direction, and they gave a tract to a young lady. And she in turn gave it to her uncle. The very next morning, the woman that the young men had come in contact with was there in church sitting on the pew. The very next night, or that night, Sunday night, the man that the young ladies gave the tract to his niece, who gave it to him, he was sitting in church that Sunday night. On the Sunday morning, Sunday morning, after the prayer and fasting day, the day of outreach, we had a move of God in that place. I was going around praying with different people. There were so many visitors there in that place. I was looking around for the saints. Come pray with this one. I got to go pray over here. Come pray. We had so many. We didn't have enough saints to pray for all the guests. It was a blessing of God upon the efforts of some young people. Just 2 weeks ago on Sunday night, we baptized 6 people in the beautiful name of Jesus Christ. One of them is right there. One of them is right there. Of those 6, 4 of them were young people. Of the 2 that were not young, one of them was the man who received a tract from his niece, who received a tract from these young ladies right here. We baptize him in the name of Jesus Christ. I believe God wants to do something in our day. I'll take everyone I can get. I'll take everyone I can get. Last night right over here, my father-in-law was telling me, Brother Dominguez said his church, there was a young man that came recently by the name of Jacob. Jacob could not hear and could not speak, but Jacob had a desire for God. Jacob received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues audibly. This was a man who could not speak. They took him down in water in the name of Jesus Christ. He came out of the water. Pastor Dominguez was there. He did right up into his ears. Jesus, hallelujah. All of a sudden, Jacob would go, Jesus, hallelujah. His ears are opening up a little bit at a time. Just the other night, last night, Jacob was right over here. He was signing, trying to pray somebody else through to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. This is the last day, church. This is the last day. But it's a day to live holy. It's a day to live righteous. It's a day to bring our holiness to Him. Holiness will broaden and deepen an apostolic revival. Holiness is what's going to give us the depth of this thing. Holiness is what's going to transform people. Holiness is what's going to change this world upside down through an apostolic revival. He said, give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Let's stand. Your timing is off. I was raised in Pentecost. This is all I know. This is all I know. I was raised in I don't want to use cliches or anything. I was raised in a very weak church. I remember at the age of 5 seeing the great technological gadget, which I had to ask Mom and Dad, what's that? That's a TV. Didn't stop there. Pretty soon it was all right to go to the movie theater if it was the cross and the switchblade. The ball game started. Mixed swimming parties. Seen pictures with the sleeve length. So ungodly. Skirt length. I've got pictures I'd be ashamed for you to see of me. My hair has a little bit of a curl. It'd begin to flip. I look like Bozo the Clown. Man, I thought it was so cool. Man, this is the way. This is the look. I'm ready for GQ. Degenerated and deteriorated. Began to affect, of course, it always will, because the channel is dried up. Began to affect the heart. Immorality swept into the church, swept the pastor, probably 95% of the church, Dad included. But at the age of 15, it all went out the window. Due to a family tragedy, we changed churches to a holiness church. My first reaction is, I'm not going to that church. But after a while, I began to think about God. And my desire for God enabled me to get away from it. I quit the football team, quit the baseball team. Sleeve length started coming down. P.E. no longer took swimming. Came time for the dancing class. I'm doing something else. All of that. Just a few years ago, probably the most memorable experience of my walk with God. Made my way to the church. Was there by myself praying in the front. My pastor, Brother Buxton, came in. The afternoon came up behind me at the altar. And there, as I began to break into the Spirit of God, on my hands and knees and buried my face in the carpet, the holiness of God kissed that place. It was such a hallowed place. I felt, as I was kneeling there and breaking into the Spirit, I felt as if God Himself were standing just right here. I knew that if I could look up, that I would either see an angelic being or some manifestation of God. I tried to look up, but I couldn't. His holiness and His presence just in my state. I felt like Isaiah, woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips. I'll never forget it the rest of my life. I'm telling you, if I had been with the mixed women parties, the other church, it would have never happened. It would have never happened. I can imagine that as the angels of God stand around the throne, they begin to sing, holy, holy.